The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
So this morning, let's just pray real quick, please. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. Where your spirit is, there is freedom. And Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you've done in my life and continue to do in my family's life, Lord. I pray this morning that it be you to speak through us and not us, Lord. We thank you for this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this whole week, I think a couple of weeks ago, that's when Pastor Tracy asked me to teach with him this morning, and I've been meditating and asking God what it is that you want us to talk about. And he said, you know, that the two things that we'll be talking about is the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. And I said, we're going to do this in 40 minutes? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I'm like 7-8 pages into it. I'm like, I got to stop. There's just impossible for us to touch on everything about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. I know I cannot do it. Maybe, Pastor Tracy, maybe you can do it. No. But, you know, last week, I know Pastor Tracy and Tony spoke about God the Father and God the Son. We get to speak about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. And one of the things that as I was reflecting and meditating in God's word this week that came to my mind was you cannot hear without ears. You cannot breathe without lungs. Well, you cannot live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart. Think about that for a second. You cannot live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart. See, Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples with these words in John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. He will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. See, the scriptures reveal three basic truths about the Holy Spirit. So when we learn them, we will be able to introduce them to others. This is why it's so important for us to understand what is and who is the Holy Spirit. Who is? Because he is a person. See, let's face it. It is impossible for us to go over this topic and end today and say, oh, okay, I got it. So I hope you got a pen on hand. I hope that you have paper on hand. If you don't have pen or paper, I'm sure you got a phone. Because there's going to be so many scriptures that we're going to be sharing with you this morning that I hope that you go back and just read through it and meditate on it. See, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. And we're going to talk a little bit about more about the Trinity later on. It is a person. He is a person. Did I say is? I'm sorry. He is a person. See, the Spirit has attributes that only a person could have. He has intelligence. 1 Corinthians 2, 10, 13. The Spirit searches everything. The thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. He has feelings. Only a person can have feelings. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He prays. Romans 8:26, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. So you remember that sometimes we may not know what to pray, Don't worry. The Spirit of God knows. And He will guide you. He does miracles. Acts 8:39. You know that the Spirit can also be lied to? Acts 5:3. But Peter say, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29. And I love this one. He teaches and directs. John 14:26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. Acts 8:29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So He teaches and directs. See, Christians should not be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but rather look to the Spirit for guidance and His spiritual strength. See, when I'm hopeless, I'm praying and I'm asking God, the Spirit of God, help me. The Holy Spirit is alive and active today and in our lives, in the lives of the believers. So as Christians, we are to be eternally grateful. I am grateful for the Holy Spirit. I am grateful for the Holy Spirit. But you know that Jesus, sorry, and I'm going to pass it down to you. One of the things that we had a chance to do was we went over all the time that Jesus says and spoke about the Holy Spirit. Now you can do this.
Now I can go. You know, again, we're walking through our foundations of faith, and we got a purpose in mind for this. And so today, again, it's just, if you're new, we're just touching on big pieces here. And hopefully what you do is take note of some of the things that maybe God is nudging you to look into a little bit further. And so what we want to do this morning with the Holy Spirit specifically is just, we're going to deal in John chapter 14 through 16. And this is the accounting of where Jesus is. It's the Last Supper with the disciples. It's the last time He's going to be with His disciples. And we're going to be looking at what did Jesus want His disciples to know before He was crucified. He said He was going to be raised again, but they still didn't get it. So what did He want them to know? And a big bulk of John chapter 14 through 16 talks about the Holy Spirit and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then we see in the epistles, we see, like Jamil just read, a lot of verses where the apostles enlarged upon some of that thought. So let's look at this. So for me, I'm thinking this is probably the most important, some of the most important things that Jesus is talking to His disciples before He goes. And He says this to them beginning in John 14. He's telling them that He's going to leave. And He said, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. And then in verse 15 through 17, he says to them, he's saying, look, I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then in verse 15, He says, but now look, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Father to give you another, and depending on your translation, advocate, comforter, which is the word paraclete, which means one called alongside to help and aid. And an advocate is, in other words, Jesus saying, I'm leaving, but it's good that I go because I'm going to give you somebody just like me. Someone who is going to walk with you and walk aside with you forever. And that one is the Spirit of truth that the world cannot accept because it doesn't know Him at all. But you know Him, and He says this, because He lives with you and He shall be in you. He said, I am not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you, which they didn't understand, but after the resurrection and in Acts 1:8, it just all becomes much more clear.
You know, in that promise of the Holy Spirit, He also brought the comfort of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, it says, But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I say unto you. See, what Jesus said in the days of his early ministry was only partially understood by the disciples. See, three things were needed for the apostles to understand Jesus' person and mission. His death had to happen. He had to rise again to vindicate. He had to be risen to vindicate his claim and demonstrate his victory over death. The Spirit had to come and interpret the meanings of Jesus' words and deeds. See, the Holy Spirit manifests the attributes of God in our lives. He can give us peace when peace is beyond understanding, and hope in the middle of crisis. How amazing to think that no matter what we go through, I was sharing that with you, the most powerful source of comfort we could ever want is always available to us, always available to us. Not sometime. If you are a believer, man, the Spirit of God is with you all the time. You know, I actually went into the Webster Dictionary and defines the word comfort as this. It says, to give strength and hope to cheer, to ease the grief or trouble of, to console. So whether we need encouragement, strength, counseling, or hope, it's always there for us through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, so Nicodemus goes to Jesus, and he's trying to understand what's going on. We know that you are from God. We get that. But we don't get all what's going on. And Jesus basically is talking to Jesus. He says, well, here's the reason why. Here's the necessity that you're going to need. Here's what's going to need to happen in your life before you're going to get this. You need to be born again. And, you know, we use that term a lot, born from above. In other words, what needs to happen, Nicodemus, you are dead, separated from the life of God because of your ignorance and because of the sin in your life. You need to be made spiritually alive. So born again is born from above. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you make that commission. What happens is your spiritual deadness turns to spiritual aliveness because the Spirit of God deposited in your life, making you alive to God. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, how many of you received Christ, and when you did, you went, how in the world did I live my life without this knowledge? It's like, wow. So completely in darkness, completely spiritually dead, now finding spiritual life because of what God has done, being born again, the Spirit of God deposited into my life. Okay, so the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so the one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we see this. So Jesus is talking before his resurrection, saying the Holy Spirit was with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to be a comforter. He's going to teach and guide. You're going to hear him. He's going to teach you. The Father's going to tell him what to teach you about me, right? And so after the resurrection, Jesus' words to them, he doesn't talk about what he spoke before. He says, listen, here's what's going to happen. After that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he is going to empower you to be my witnesses. Hmm. And you know, a lot of times we think empowerment is the power to do, and I'm not disputing that, but more of it is the power to become. Spirit of God is in your life, empowering you to become a witness, to become that voice because of the work that he's done in your life. See, I can testify to the fact that I was my old life, and once I received Christ, I can testify to what he's done since my life. See, there's the thing that we need to understand that we're to be a voice of the Spirit of God in what he's done in our life. So he has empowered us to be witnesses. In John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, you know, it says, mm-hmm. When the Father comes, he's going to bear witness of me. And you also must testify about me. And here, after the resurrection, Jesus is saying, here's what you need to understand. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do what I've asked of you, to be a witness of me.
And let me just ask something, that not only does the Holy Spirit bring about the work of conversion, but after it has taken place, after Christ has come into your heart, the Holy Spirit personally gives you the assurance that you are a believer. See, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is good news, let me tell you.
Yeah, how often in your life is it that, you know, I love these moments that you could be doing 101 different things, and all of a sudden there's this realization of the reality of God in your life, this reality. Sometimes it could be moments of, like he was saying, how he brings peace. Sometimes you could be moments of extreme difficulty and pain in your life. And then all of a sudden there's just this sense, right? There's this voice, like a still small voice. There's this sense of comfort. You just sense, you sense God going, hey, I got this. I'm here. I'm with you. I will walk you through this. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I am here. And I love the reality. I mean, there's no way that we could continue to live this Christian life and not have the empowerment of the Spirit of God in our lives. That's what we need to get. We need to get the Spirit of God resident in our life. Like Jomiel said, the one who's going to help, that's going to guide, that's going to counsel, that's going to be teaching, the one that when we don't know what to pray, prays for us. We really need to gain more of a dependence, acknowledgement and dependence of the reality of the Spirit of God in our lives to help us to glorify God, to honor him with our life, to be a light to the world that's around us.
You know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 16:7, says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. See, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will not teach the disciples on his own, at some point his own initiative, but will teach you only what he hears from the Father. See, I was thinking about it, and I said, okay, so this points up to the interdependence of the persons in the Trinity. See, the Father will tell the Spirit what to teach the apostles about the Son. So let me repeat that. The Father will tell the Spirit what to teach the apostles about the Son. The Spirit will teach what is yet to come. These statements helps one understand the promise that he is coming again. See, that is a promise. And we know that because it is true.
Go ahead with the Trinity. Just jump right in.
Let's go to the Trinity, right in, because I don't want to be jealous like 2 weeks ago my brother Doug was jealous. I'm just saying. So,
I'm never going to live that down, am I?
You're not, sorry. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to empower us as Christians to progress in our spiritual lives. You mentioned that. If your life seems powerless, then there's got to be something that you're not familiar with or you're probably thinking about. See, we're supposed to submit to the Holy Spirit. In the very first verses of the Bible, Genesis 1:1-2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep, and what? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water, so he's been there all along. See, now we've gone through the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it is important for us to understand the Trinity. We need to study its truth because it is at the center of the divine revelation. See, that is a basic Christian doctrine. And we see that from Genesis 1:1. There is one God, not many. This God exists eternally in three persons, each distinct from each other.
You know, I got to thinking, over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've studied on this topic, and we're studying it again, and, you know, trying to condense and just really kind of put out some big pieces. And as I, over the last 2 weeks, I've dug deep again, and, you know, some of my study materials and some of the guys and theologians that you've studied. Here's what I love as I've studied and gone through them. Somewhere on each one of them in that study, they've gone, I'm going to paraphrase, just so you know, I don't get this. I mean, I see the evidences of it, but for me to understand it fully and completely, I cannot and I do not. And so I think for us, as we are, I got to thinking, okay, Lord, just give me a little bit of clarity here so that I can bring this in a very practical way for us as why should we understand this? And it was like, why did God choose to reveal himself in this way? I don't know. But I will know. One day I'll know as I've known, right? One day I'm going to know. So for us, as we're grappling with this, we're going to get down to some truths and some basic things that we need to have an understanding about. But to say, Tracy, I don't believe it because I don't understand. I think that's a wrong approach. How many things in the Bible do I believe because it's written, even though I don't understand it? And I ask God to give me wisdom and help me see. And sometimes, like this one, from the beginning of my time of being a believer, I've asked God to help me see. And It's almost like he's going, It's okay. I'm gonna help you see the things that you need to see to help you achieve what I want you to achieve and become what I want you to become. So I love that. I think John Wesley was the one that says, bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and then I'll bring you a man that can comprehend God and his Trinity. Right?
You know,
go ahead.
One thing that I was actually just writing, I say the word nor the doctrine of the Trinity is actually not found in any single verse of the Bible. It is to be found in the study of the entire Bible. So, you know, there's some glimpses. Let me just show you some glimpses of the Trinity in the Old Testament. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Genesis 11:7. Come, let us go down. And there confused their language. Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom should I send and who will go for us? See, we got to go back for a second. I know we got time, right? Let's look at the role of each person again.
Before you jump into the role, You know, I know you guys have heard this before, but Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Well, in our Hebrew Bible, it says, in the beginning, Elohim.
Elohim.
And Elohim is a plural. Mm-hmm. So from the very first words of the revelation of God to humanity, this was there. So it wasn't there later when he said, let us make man in our image. In the beginning he said, in the beginning we were. In the beginning Elohim created.
That's good.
So
that's right. That's right. So here's the role of each person. I think you guys mentioned that last week. The first person of the Trinity, God the Father, he's the source of the Godhead in all things. He is transcendent, meaning supreme. He is uncaused, meaning not brought into existence by any cause. He is beyond mere existence. He simply is. God the Son, he is the Word of the Father. He is eternally begotten of the Father. He is uncreated, not made. His source is in the Father, and I love this. And humans can only approach the Father through the Son. The third person, God the Holy Spirit, he's neither begotten nor created. He eternally proceeds from the Father. He's the active agent of God in the world. He has always existed, just like the Father and the Son. All three persons interact in unity. I was talking to my wife the other day. I was like, you know, they don't have any disagreement between the Trinity because they share one nature. There is one God, not many. God is eternally in three persons, each distinct from each other. Each is fully God and fully divine.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was had been saved about a year or so. And I went to, I'm trying to remember who it was that puts on this, it's irrelevant, it might come to me. I went to this seminar thing that was at one of the big churches in Omaha. And it was on how big is God. And it was a thing for showing the existence of God in our world. And so, you know, they're talking about all kinds of stuff about creation and geographical data, all kinds of stuff. Mm. But they ended with this multimedia presentation on how big is God. And it talked about how big is our earth, how big is our solar system, how big is our sun, how many galaxies there are, and it talked about the Milky Way, and they were showing all this stuff, and it got to be so huge that it was like I just couldn't wrap my head around any of it. Because I'm thinking about God and creating this and the expanse of the creation that God had created, hanging the stars, and they started talking about some of the stars and how big they were and all that stuff, and I remember my head was just spinning, right? I remember getting in my vehicle, I'm driving home, and it hit me that, okay, I can't wrap my head around this, so I just really can't believe this at all. How that you would have, first of all, to think that any of that could all just be created. And you know that I was never raised in church, didn't have any knowledge of those things. On the way home, I started to flush my belief. I just started, because I didn't understand it. I just started pushing away. I don't get it. There's no way I can believe that. No way I can grab it. So for two whole weeks, I've got this struggle going on. One day I'm at work and I'm driving, and the Lord just, it's like he sat down next to me. Man, I felt his presence, right? And he goes, Tracy, you sense my presence now, right? You sense I'm real. And I'm going, yeah. Mm. Okay, you used to live this life. And in a moment, remember that point at the altar? Remember the lead up of you coming to the realization that your life is not where it needed to be and there was something missing in your life. Mm. And your friend came to you and told you it was because of sin that separated you. And that from the very beginning of time, I had an intention to have relationship with my creation, and you are my creation. Yeah. Remember that moment at the altar when you confessed your sins and you repented, and you remember that feeling that came into your life? Remember that from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that rush that took place, and from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head? And remember when you stood up, something was different? Do you remember the next week, the difference in your life, the reality of a difference in your life? Mm-hmm. Tracy, just because you can't believe it doesn't mean it's not real. I am the God that created all that, and I am the God that rescued you and that loves you and has every intention on fulfilling all that I have spoken about you. Now my life's back on track. So just because when we're talking about these things and they're just way out there, we can't grab a hold of them, doesn't mean that there's not the reality of it.
That's right.
I get to thinking about when Jesus is... You see in the, you see, okay, so you see the whole of Trinity at the beginning of creation, right? And Elohim says, let us make man in our image. And then you see at the beginning of the Gospels, it's as though the Trinity once again is saying, okay, well, let us save that man that is made in our image. And so we get to see all these glimpses and these pieces. And though we don't fully comprehend or understand, does it dismiss the truth of it? Matthew 28, 19 says this. Let us therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Have you ever caught this before? Baptizing them in the name, singular, in the name of, singular, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you grab from that, but one of the things that I grab from it is that the equality of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So if you're going to baptize somebody in their name implies a professed dependence upon, a devotion to them, right? And so being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit implies this dependence upon the Father, the Son, and the Spirit equally.
Look, can I just add something? Because you mentioned, see, what happens is in our life, where our finite mind wants to understand God's mind. And there's just no way we could do that. There's just no way. I mean, sometimes I just go back and I just look at my life and say, God, I don't understand, but I know you do. I don't know your plan. I want to see it. Can you just tell me what's going to happen? But you know what? I got to trust that your plan is better.
Yeah, I don't get Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel, let alone the Trinity. I don't get when I read through Revelations about the great beast and Babylon and the great whore and all that stuff that's in. I don't fully, I honestly, I can like some of you say, okay, well, da, 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 da. But no, there's just lots of stuff. The little horn and then there's 10 horns and the other horn comes out in Daniel. And there's all that stuff that's talking about, I'm going, okay, we should be able to get this because God said it.
Yeah.
And then in Isaiah, it says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. But what I have revealed and made known to you. See? And this is what I love about God. We get to see this progressive revelation of God to humanity. So God the Father, he's Elohim. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah. So we see him as a creator, a sustainer, a protector, a provider. We see all these things. And yet when we get to the New Testament, we see Father. We see Jesus in the Old Testament as that this one that God would send would come, who would deliver humanity. And then when Jesus comes, we find a Savior and one who called us friend. We see in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit came upon men and empowered them. In the New Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit came in men, not just to empower, but empowerment through guiding, through encouraging, and through teaching. So we see this long story of God, how God has revealing himself to us. So let's just take let's take a practical thought from that, maybe a practical principle. So for me, when I became a believer, God began this process in my life. And I love this, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There is this work that God is doing in our life as individual, collectively, but as individuals. He knows you, right? And he knows everything about you, and he is drawing you to himself. He's revealing himself to you. So as I'm standing here today, I can tell you, as I look back in my life, I see this revelation of God to me. First of all, just that I'm a different person. Like I told you, the big story about how big is God and how God helped me see. Okay, Tracy, you don't need to worry about all that. Here's what you need to focus on. You know the reality of me in your life. Let's start there. Then I had to learn that he was a father, because my father wasn't a good father figure about what love was. So it was really difficult for me to grab God as my father, but he taught me. My idea of relationships was skewed tremendously until I married Denise, and Denise helped me understand what it was like to love unconditionally and to be loyal and someone that you could depend on, someone that you could trust in, somebody that was for you and would do anything for you, which helped me see the Father. So all of us in our life, we're on this journey. And let me just say to you that are younger, I've been on this journey for like 40 years, and I know this much. But this much that I know has caused me to not turn or disbelieve and walk away from. And so here's one of the things that we need to continue to grab a hold of. You are on a journey. And you can, the same God that rescued you, the same God that comes to you at this moment, those moments in time, and he reveals himself to you, and he might not go, Amy, here's what you need to know, ba 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 ba. No, it usually goes, Amy, and you feel assurance. You sense comfort. You understand that, I don't understand, and it's okay because you got me. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. You will see me through the fire. You will help me through whatever this is I'm facing, and whatever that is. See, even if it's death, that's just a comma in your life. Because if I faced it, when I get to the other side, I'm not going to be sad when I'm in glory. See, God is working in our life. And so I like to, let's just kind of sum it up this way. All of this that we've been talking about, the Father, Son, Spirit, and talking about the Trinity, all of this, each of the three persons of the Godhead are revealed to us so that God may be seen in us, for the world around us to see him. That's what's him. So what did Jesus, why was God doing what he was doing with Egypt and Pharaoh? So that the nations would know that he was God.
That's right.
Right? And so here, let me just say it like this. The most for me, I'm just going to say it for me, because you all have your own things, but the most practical side of understanding the Trinity for me is so that I will depend on the reality of the Spirit of God in my life and the empowerment that he brings to me.
That's right.
And to believe in the sacrifice that Jesus made that paved the way for my salvation and my rescue, and to trust in the love of God the Father toward me that made all that happen.
Very quickly, the secret things belongs to the Lord God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all words of this law. Remember, they are secret things, but only those that are revealed to us are for us to understand.